We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
IB Nation, welcome back to another edition of the Irish Breakdown Podcast. It is Tuesday, April 23rd, and there's a, as always, there's a lot going on in Notre Dame Nation. And of course, there's a lot going on at IB Nation. So thanks for joining me today. Going to be a fun show today. Going to call a little bit of an audible. Today I was going to plan on introducing our new format for the show. And with the breaking news that Micah Bell has entered the transfer portal, I'm going to call a little bit of an audible. And today we're going to focus a lot on cornerback position. So we'll talk about Micah Bell, how his decision impacts Notre Dame. And we'll dive into a little bit of what this means for Notre Dame recruiting and how this is the roster is going to be impacted presently and in the future. So over the next week, we will start to kind of release and go with what the new show format is. And just to give you guys an idea, a couple things we're still working on. This isn't topic stuff. This is more just structural stuff of how the shows are going to go. We are going to still maintain moving forward. Obviously Monday to Friday shows, we're still trying to work on getting some more weekend shows going, but right now we're not able to do that. We hope to kind of have that rolling here by the end of the spring and into the summer. But what we're going to do is, you know, we'll have our mailbag on Monday. We'll have our recruiting show on Friday. And then in between, I'm going to do a lot of different solo shows. I'm hoping to have more guests on and things along those lines. But just from a, you know, and that's more of a content standpoint. But from a structural standpoint, you know, we're going to try to get into each show and get into different topics every day and have two to three different topics that we cover. And then we're going to do something kind of fun, I think fun, at the end of every show. So at the end of every show, we'll have like a different segment. So every Tuesday will be a certain segment. Every Wednesday will be a certain segment. Every Thursday will be a certain segment, things along those lines. And the way that the format is going to go right now, and this is, again, this is still subject to change. We're going to kind of mess with it a little bit, see how it goes. But essentially what it's going to be is, so Monday shows will be the mailbag. Tuesday we'll have different team, college football, other different topics. And then we'll have an Inside the Numbers inside the numbers breakdown. I'll take some sort of statistical look at Notre Dame college football, and then I'm going to end every Tuesday show with a film room. It will be something recruiting related. It could be just a player. It could be a position group, but I'm going to have some fun and getting back to I want to start breaking down more film. I want to start talking more recruiting. I've had a lot of people ask for it. Ryan does a great job in his segment. I'm not going to be repeating things he's doing, but just especially as we get into the spring and summer and there's no team, just doing more of that stuff. That's going to be on Tuesdays. Wednesday's show is going to be, again, a couple different team topics. And then at the final segment of the Wednesday show is going to be a buy, sell, or hold segment that we'll do every Wednesday. And then as of right now, the Thursday show is going to be, you know, 2 to 3 team recruiting topics. And then I'm going to do sort of an around the nation. And that'll be something where I talk about something that's more college football related. As much as I can, when it's relevant, I will try to talk about topics that have something to do with Notre Dame. But sometimes I just want to be able to talk about other things. And I know that some people don't care to talk about things that are not related to Notre Dame, but I've had a lot of people ask for it. And if you're a fan of the show, I think most of you kind of want to get my opinion on certain things. And so, you know, I'll talk about some sort of college football related topic at the end of that show. There's a couple other segments that I'm working on, maybe trying to fit in to these as well. But as of right now, that's the general plan. And somebody had asked about the midweek musings, the midweek rundown, I should say. That is kind of what a lot of these shows are now. It's just topic, some sort of ending. And so that's just kind of the format we're going for a lot of these. I'll probably, you know, name the Wednesday show back to midweek rundown, get back to that, but that's kind of where we are. Also, for start times, for now, the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday shows will be at 2 o'clock start times. Monday and Friday will stay at 1 for those start times. So that'll just kind of be where we are for now. That may adjust as we get into the summer, but I just kind of wanted to lay it all out with you guys. We're going to also, here over the next couple months, make some changes to the Ivy Nation Sports Talk show. So we're just trying to, you know, just trying to have some more fun and bring different types of contents. But at the heart of it all is going to be talking Notre Dame football. That is always going to be the heart of what we're doing. And we're just trying to get into some different topics instead of like one topic for like an hour and a half. Just try to get into some different topics. And so I'm looking forward to having some of that stuff. So, you know, that's kind of where I'm at. So I'm looking forward to it. I think you guys will all have some fun with it. And it's going to be a lot of fun.
Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. We are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You heard it. 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It is so easy to use. All you have to do is download the app in the App Store or Google Play Store, sign up, add some funds, and you're in. Then you just find your favorite player and decide more or less on the suggested stat. It really is that easy. The night I joined, I picked Hannah Hidalgo to have more than 14 points, Maddie Westbeld to have less than 10 rebounds, and Marcus Burton to have more than 18 points. And guess what? I hit on all three. Bing, bang, boom, baby. Money in my pocket. It was just that easy. Download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So before we get into today's show too, last week, I'm a horrible son. Last week was my dad's birthday last Wednesday, and I didn't do a show. So I couldn't wish my dad a happy birthday. My dad listens to all the shows. He and my mom are certainly my biggest fans. So it's late, Dad, but I did want to wish you a happy birthday to my dad. And also wanted to quickly begin just a little personal thing. And I know some of you don't care about that, but most of you do. So I'm going to talk about it anyway. My buddy J-Mac is in the hospital right now, and he's going to have surgery tomorrow. So definitely praying for him and that he has a speedy recovery and that the doctors are wise in what they're able to do, and he can get healthy so he can get ready for the season, because it's going to be a fun one. It's going to be a fun one. Today's topic is going to be partly fun and partly not so fun, because today we're going to start talking about the decision that was announced today of Micah Bell to transfer from Notre Dame. So obviously that was the big news that broke. I was in a meeting with Ryan today, and we were going over a bunch of new things and some changes we're going to make to how we're covering recruiting and different aspects of that. And all of a sudden he stops and he looks down and he's like, "Did you see what just happened?" I was like, "No, I didn't see it." And he goes, "Yeah, Micah Bell just entered the portal." So, Micah was not a kid that I had heard a lot of entering the portal, to be honest. I don't want to sit here and be like, "Oh yeah, I knew that was going to happen." I didn't know that it was going to happen. I had hoped he wouldn't leave. I'm not super shocked that he's leaving. I'm a little bummed. And so what I'm going to try to do here over the next little bit with this is I'm going to explain kind of what happened, and I'm going to try my best to be very clear between what I know and what's my opinion. And so we'll begin a little bit with what we know with Micah Bell's decision to transfer. Obviously, that was announced today. Micah released that late this morning, early afternoon, and he put out that he was entering the portal. I don't know a lot of the reasons for it. This was not a situation where Micah was pushed out. This was not a situation where he was told, "Hey, you don't have room." That's what I've been told. This was a decision that Micah made on his own. I do believe, that's what I know. I do believe, however, that Micah was aware that the depth chart at that position was going to be a challenge this year. There were some opportunities for him maybe down the road, but with the way that Notre Dame is recruiting that position, he had a lot of room for improvement he needed to make. Now, the good news for him is he was making a lot of improvement. I've said in some intel in the past that he was a guy that I had talked to some people about, really started to come along late in the fall, made some strides this spring. There's a lot of room. He's got to get stronger. He's got to become a better tackler. We've talked about that. His technique is still inconsistent, but you also saw on Saturday that he has opportunities to make some plays. He got beat for a touchdown, also had the pass breakup on the final play of the game that helped win the game, and had good coverage on a go ball to KK Smith earlier in the game as well. So, Micah was evolving and developing as a player, but it was going to be a challenge. Notre Dame had Jaden Alsbury playing Rover this spring, and he was doing so well with it that, to be honest, they got in a situation where he could just do things that none of the other Rovers could do. And so they started having him essentially serve as the number two nickel. And Marcus Freeman talked about this after the game, and he basically said they moved him to nickel. My understanding is that he's not technically a nickel in the traditional sense, but essentially he's practices with them and goes through those drills. He can still play linebacker. You saw him kind of cheating into the box at different times, which they're going to do more with him than they did a typical Rover or nickel. But it's almost kind of like a hybrid position that's unique to Jaden Alsbury because of his unique skill set. What that means is, since Jaden is ahead of Micah in his development, instead of having like the number two nickel right now, it's going to be the nickel, or Jalen Snead could play there and as the Rover. And then instead of a second nickel, you might see some of Jaden Alsbury in that position. And so he was going to, it was going to be a challenge for him. Now, Could he have still battled and gotten playing time? Sure. And that kid's fast. He can fly. And there's some talent there to work with. But it was a situation where, this is my opinion, where I think Micah just saw a little bit of the what was kind of happening around him and how they were recruiting and just really felt like he might have better opportunities elsewhere. That's my opinion. What I know is what I told you before. He was not forced out. This is not a situation where he wasn't going to class. He was getting in trouble. He was a problem on the roster. None of that's true. Like, this wasn't one of those situations. He wasn't told, you don't have a spot, leave. I don't think that was true. They had honest conversations with him, like they do every player on the team, about where he stood. And this is my opinion. I believe he just looked at it and said, I think I might have better opportunities elsewhere. That's what I think happened. Whenever you lose a player of Micah Bell's talent, that's a problem. And I shouldn't say a problem. That's a loss. It is a loss. I don't want to be that guy that every time a kid leaves Notre Dame, okay, let's turn on the spin machine, get that sucker going, and convince everyone why this isn't a loss and they're better off without him. Look, you have a kid with that kind of speed, you never, ever say, we can't find a home for that kid. We can't find a role for that kid. And I don't think that's where the Notre Dame coaches were either. They were realistic about how much he needed to grow and where he needed to develop and all those type of things. But this was not a situation where Micah, you know, was just a lost cause. It was going to be a battle, and he's going in a different direction, and now Notre Dame's going to go out and do the best they can in regard to putting a product out there. And that's where the emergence of, you know, over the spring of Jaden Alsbury, it played a role. I mean, we can't say that it didn't play a role, because going into the spring, Micah was the number two player at that position. He was getting some work, and there were some times he was getting some work with the ones when Jordan Clark was kind of getting back to health. But the more and more Jaden Alsbury started getting comfortable with that position, the more and more he was playing there as part of sort of a hybrid position as opposed to what we were seeing from Micah Bell. So I do think that factored into it. So Micah Bell is no longer with the Notre Dame program. He is going to enter he has entered the transfer portal. This is also a situation where this is going to sound like spin. I understand it, but this is just something that Notre Dame fans have to come to grips with a little bit. So two things can be true at the same time. And in this case with Micah Bell, I think that's true. Number one is you can say a kid, I would much rather Micah Bell's to be on the Notre Dame football team. I would. Anytime you have a kid who, from everything I've been told, good kid, comes from a great family. Again, no issues from that standpoint from what I'm told. But you have a kid who has speed, good kid, and has potential. You always want a kid like that on your roster, because if the light goes on, the light's going on for a guy who's a mid to low 4-3 guy. That's always a good thing. You always want guys like that on your roster. But also you can look at it and say, this is also a symptom of what's happening right now in the Marcus Freeman era. And what I mean by that is, look, there are going to be some guys that transfer over the next year. There could be some guys that transfer this year. I don't know for a fact that certain guys are going to transfer, but I put this on the message board a little bit ago. People need to take a deep breath and relax and think through things and maybe listen to some people that you trust to shoot you straight. And I hope that I've earned that trust for most of you, because, you know, sometimes you'll have people that'll spin things, and I'm just speaking in general. This could be true about Notre Dame, other teams, politics, history, TV shows, food, whatever. You know, we get a lot of spin. But I'm always going to give you guys an honest assessment of how I see it and then what I hear. But then also from the things that I hear, I always use discernment of, yeah, you're trying to tell me something, and I know that not to be true, or I don't disagree with that. So I will shoot you straight. But here's the thing that some of us are going to have to accept. Notre Dame is going to lose players that we consider talented players that were highly ranked players that might surprise some of us, whether it's this year, next year. Again, I don't have a specific player in mind with what I'm saying. I have heard some things about guys that might leave. So in that regard, I do know of some of these situations. But the reality is they're in a situation, and I think some of you started to see it in the spring game. The recruiting that Marcus Freeman and Chad Bowden and this staff have done in the 23 and 24 classes has completely changed the roster composition at Notre Dame. Their willingness and ability to go to the portal for potential impact players has changed things quite a bit. And what does that mean? That means that right now, Notre Dame is getting closer and closer to being where Georgia and Alabama are. And that's something that we have to embrace as Notre Dame fans. What does that mean? Are they on the same level of Alabama and Georgia from a championship type of team? No, they're not, because they haven't won a championship yet. They haven't won a New Year's Six Bowl in 30 years. They haven't won a playoff game. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is just when you're recruiting the way that they're recruiting, you're going to have kids get over-recruited. And that means guys that were highly ranked, guys that are talented, are sometimes going to look over their shoulders and say, nah, I don't want that. I don't want to deal with that. I want to have this opportunity to kind of go play somewhere else where I know I'm going to be the guy. That's happening all around college football. That's been happening at Georgia for a while. That's been happening at Bama for a while. That happens at Ohio State, where they lose some big-time recruit, and we as fans look back and like, wow, did you guys see that Alabama lost so-and-so player? And you're just like, yeah, that's a bummer, man. How, what's going on at Bama? And then you read and look into it, and you're like, oh, he got beat out by some younger guy. Georgia lost a guy that started for them on their championship team at linebacker 2 years ago. Why? Because when he got banged up this year, basically a younger, more talented player kind of started to beat him out, and he wasn't going to be guaranteed playing time. That's kind of happening at Notre Dame right now to a degree, where – and Ape Gambino just had a great point. This is what happened with Prince Colley. He was going to get passed up by the younger linebackers. He was not going to play the way he wanted to play. And so while it may, for us as fans, like, man, I thought that guy could play. I thought that guy, there was high hopes for that guy. But at the end of the day, it's like, yeah, but that guy's getting beat out, or that guy's hold on his position is a bit tenuous. Some kids in that situation are going to say, that's cool. I'm going to still stay and compete. I'm going to battle. I'm going to win this job. And if I don't, then I'm going to do whatever the team asks me to do. There's going to be kids like that. But some of them are just going to leave. And it's not always NIL. It's not always some nefarious thing. Sometimes it's just dude got beat out. And that's not an ideal place to be from the standpoint of you always want to have everybody. It's like what I said yesterday. You know, is Notre Dame going to be fine without Holden Stace a tight end? Yeah, they're going to be fine. But wouldn't they be even better if they had Mitchell Evans, Eli Raritan, Cooper Flanagan, Jack Larson, and Holden Stace? I've always felt that way. I want as much talent on my roster as possible if I'm a football coach. But that's just not the world we live in. And it's never been the world we live in. I mean, Dorsey Levens transferred out of Notre Dame because he was buried on the running back depth chart. He goes to Georgia Tech, runs for 1,000 yards, and is a Super Bowl winning running back with the Green Bay Packers. Did Notre Dame force him out? Was he a bat? No, I'm buried on the depth chart here. That's life when you're at a top program, and Notre Dame is starting to get into that situation. Now, in some places that can hurt you because your depth of the position may not be great, but in other places, like I had somebody that asked me, and I won't say the position, but hey, what happens if this guy transfers and that guy transfers? Won't they be hurting the depth? And I said, okay, well, let me ask you this. If that guy leaves, this is what the depth chart in the fall is going to look like. And I named a bunch of players. I said, taking out the context of losing those two guys, do you have a lack of confidence that they have the numbers and talent to be impactful there? And he's like, no, they're still pretty loaded. And that's kind of where Notre Dame is getting to. They're not completely there yet, but there's a lot of positions, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, interior offensive line, defensive tackle, linebacker, where they can lose a guy and say, yeah, that guy's pretty good, but they're okay. Cornerback's a bit of an interesting situation, and I'll get into that here next. But that's just a reality that we have to come to grips with as Notre Dame fans, is when you recruit the way that Notre Dame is recruiting, that some guys are just going to leave. And that's been true for since I've been a Notre Dame fan. I mean, I could start naming guys that transferred out of Notre Dame during their golden years of 88 to 93 that went on to be pretty good college football players and played in the NFL. And it was it's a symptom of a being in a good place. When that's happening, you're actually in a good place as a program. Now, you have to be careful as a program that you're not losing too many kids at a position. So you've got to make sure that you're in a place where, okay, we can lose a kid or two, but others are going to stay. And that's where recruiting is so important. You've got to make sure you're bringing in the right kind of kids that are coming for the right reasons and are going to stick it out. This is why I say, just a little rant here before I move on to the next section. This is why I say buying players at Notre Dame in high school is a bad idea. Because if you have to pay a kid to come here, A, that's driving his decision-making, which means if he's not playing, he's going to jump in the portal, look for a payday somewhere else. Or if he plays well, he's going to jump in the portal, look for a payday somewhere else. Or hold it over your head to, you know, hey, I want more money or I'm leaving. Those are not the kind of players that you want to get in your, that you want in your program. And so Notre Dame has to be smart to make sure they have more and more kids that are going to be in it for the long haul as much as possible. You can't stop attrition. And in some instances, it's needed. Notre Dame is still over the 85 scholarship limit. They have to lose more players. And if they want to add guys, they have to lose even more. And so, those are aspects of it that I think are we have to keep in mind as we dive into this portal season, because they are going to lose kids. Some of them we will expect. Some of them we may not expect. And so we have to be prepared for that. And this Micah Bell one is not one that I was expecting, but it's also one that when you think about it, you're like, yeah, I get it. I'm not happy about it, but you understand it. So that's going to do it for this next section. Next, I'm going to kind of talk about where Notre Dame is at cornerback for 2024, how this impacts the Notre Dame roster, and then sort of look for the future as well. But before we do, folks, do me a favor, hit that like button, hit the subscribe button, hit the notification bell, share this podcast. And if you're listening via podcast platform like Spotify or Apple, we would greatly appreciate a 5-star review. We'll be right back.